everyone, and thank you for joining us on Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And today I have with me my co-host, the Frog. Say hello, Kermit. No. Sabina with laryngitis.
Not fun.
And I hope you feel better soon and it doesn't hurt as much as it sounds like it does.
It doesn't hurt anymore. My throat doesn't hurt at all, thank goodness.
Oh, that's great. Well, today we're very excited to welcome Daytime Emmy Award winner for Outstanding Young Actress in a Drama Series as Lois Cirillo on General Hospital, Rena Sofer. Welcome, Rena.
Hello.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
thank you
for joining us today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I know the fans are excited to hear from you. I know it's been a while since you've been on GH, but you know us soap fans, we're very loyal, and we follow you no matter where you go.
You are. And I still get recognized probably for General Hospital every day, more often than I do anything else I've ever done.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, we all loved you as Lois on GH and her New York accent. Did you have to learn how to do that?
No, I'm from New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I lived in New York. And I think that even though I was born in California but left immediately, I believe that I have New York City blood in my veins.
Yeah.
Pure and simple. It's where I want to spend the rest of my life. It's where I want to live when I retire. It's where I want to be. So I get it. I get that New York everything so much that it was so easy. And when I auditioned for the role, I remember sitting with the casting director, Mark Teschner. He's a friend of mine. I had done Loving in New York City.
Right.
He was the casting director. And he, you know, when he called me and said, there's this part on General Hospital, he said, let me take you out to dinner and we'll talk about it. And he brought the sides with him. And he's like, let's just read it. And I was like, oh, all right, you know, this is supposed to be dinner, but all right. And we're sitting there and I go, okay. And I'm looking through the sides and I said, do you want me to do it with an accent? And he was like, could you do a New York accent? And I'm like, could I do a New York accent? Are you kidding me? So then we started that way, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Wow, that's amazing. And you had to work for your dinner.
He paid for it no matter what. I had to eventually work for it later. It wasn't a slam dunk, I'll tell you that much.
Well, what did you love the most about playing Lois?
You know, for me, Lois was who I wanted to be when I grew up. You know, she just had a perfection to her personality that I, Rena, didn't own. She knew who she was. She didn't care about any of her flaws. She celebrated every single one of them. And nothing made her feel insecure. She jumped into everything with all of her heart and all of her soul. And she never once stopped to think, should I do this? Is this right? What will people think of me? What will this look like? She literally just dove in. And it was really her morals that steered her towards everything she chose to do in her life. And because she believed in them so strongly, you couldn't help but respect her for her choices. That's what I loved the most about her.
It was so much fun watching that, you know, have no fear and everything always worked out. And it's just, it was such a beloved character. And to see you back on there?
I would, you know, I've never, ever closed the door to going back to General Hospital. I've always said Lois was one of my favorite roles that I've ever played. And I would never hesitate if they had asked me to go back to General Hospital. You know, when they recast the time, I don't know how many years ago, but somebody else played Lois, they never asked me to come back. So, you know, all of a sudden somebody, you know, a really good friend of mine who, you know, writes for soap opera magazines, she called me, she goes, there's somebody playing Lilith on General Hospital. I was like, what? I couldn't even believe it. So,
wow. What a way to find
shocking.
Out.
Yeah. It's kind of like somebody else raising your child for a couple of years. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get this podcast over to the new writer and director over there.
Absolutely.
Now, do you have a favorite memory from any of the storylines you were involved in?
You know, I have to say the number one memory I have is when Lois asked Ned to marry her on the Cyclone in Coney Island.
Yeah.
Because I had never ridden a roller coaster before.
Really?
Ever. And the producer and the director had explained to me, you know, we're planning on putting the camera on the roller coaster and we're going to shoot the scene as you're going. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to go on a roller coaster. And they're like, well, you know, maybe we can, you know, have you go on and we can stop the roller coaster up at the top or just as it goes over. And you know, the people running it said, no. Once it goes up, you know, once she crests that first hill, it doesn't stop until it stops. And I'm like, no, I won't. And they're like, well, what if we go on for you and show you that it's not so bad and it's not so scary? And so they went on it. They looked terrified. It was this rickety, you know, it shook you around a lot.
Right.
And that wasn't even the point. I just don't like the drop feeling. And so they made Wally go on it over and over again with a body double and do his side of the scenes. And then they were trying to figure out how to do it with me, and they just said, please, Rena, we're begging you. Just, it's going to be the greatest scene. Just do it. And so I said, all right, fine. I'm going to do it once, just once. And thank God I knew my lines well.
Yeah.
And I get on it. We go, everything you saw on that roller coaster ride was 100% real. Everything you see on my face, there was no acting involved. Because we started off and I'm totally terrified and I'm trying to get all my words out and I'm trying to do everything. And then by the end of it, it was so much fun that I was almost hyperventilating with the biggest smile on my face. And it was hilarious. And that was, you know, and I haven't been able to find it on YouTube. I always put in YouTube, Lois rides the Cyclone General Hospital, and I can never find it. But I wanted to show my kids because they've never seen me do it. It was really
well, I know a few people that are really good with looking up YouTube things. So maybe I'll give a shout out to them and they'll find it and I'll get it to you.
Absolutely. If they know what to put into YouTube, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm sure it's got to be on there somewhere. I mean, there's so many things on there. As a matter of fact, last night I went back and was watching some of Loving with you on there and with Rocky and Curtis. I mean, they were such a sweet couple.
Really? There's Loving stuff on YouTube, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Crazy. That's just crazy.
Yeah, there's just about everything on YouTube, so watch what you do.
I know. Oh, I know. Don't worry. I'm well aware to watch out.
Yeah. Now, have you been on a roller coaster since then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, I like roller coasters. They're fun now. Good. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's about the only thing I go on. It's funny, I'm afraid of heights, but I love roller coasters. It's been a few years since I've been on them, but I love them. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's just the energy that you get from the fear of being on
it. Exactly.
Now, when you were on Loving, do you have a favorite storyline from that one?
You know, I remember, I didn't, you know, when I was on Loving, one of the problems was I was so young and I was more excited about being on a soap opera than the work of being on a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about soap operas that can be so heartbreaking is they sign you to a multi-year contract, which you think, oh, my God, that's great, and here I get to make – I know I'm going to make a certain amount of money every year. But if you don't have a good storyline, you're really going in for the, you know, whatever your minimum time you're supposed to go in, and you can just be there to just go, hey, how's it going, or serve somebody coffee, or, you know, right. be in a scene that really isn't about you. And really, so much of Loving was that for me because, you know, the first love triangle they had me with wasn't very good. And then the second one was Rick Tejas came on and he played my boyfriend, but I don't really remember it too well, but I don't think he was a citizen. They were going to deport him, and we ended up dancing the Lambada because the movie The Lambada just came out. So, you know, but I didn't have such a good story. It wasn't like Lois on General Hospital where,
right.
you know, it was like a little over 2 years of perfect story, perfect build. It just was a circle, you know. It started in one place, and it just really circulated all the way to the end. And and I just worked pretty consistently, not exhaustingly, but really just loved what I did, and the story made sense and it moved in the right way, you know. We weren't getting together, breaking up because he just had to keep the time going. So it was really good, and it was believable, which I loved the most, was this woman was so innocent and naive that nobody would ever take her love for granted, that nobody would ever pretend to be somebody they weren't. With Loving, I never really got a great story. You know, I was there for Trucker and I was there for Trisha, but I wasn't really my own story. So I don't really have anything that I remember that was outstanding at that time. Other than being married and having Tony Bennett at my wedding. That was
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty
That's
cool.
wonderful. I love Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Well, what did you learn from playing on Loving that you took with you to General Hospital or any other roles that you've done since then?
Take it seriously. Take it seriously. You're not there to make friends. You're not there to be a star. You're there to do the best work you can do, and that will take you to where you need to be. But every day, you get an opportunity to do a script, to play a scene, to be an actor, and to make it as believable and as real for the audience to watch. And I think that's why Lois was such a success. I didn't see it as a joke. I took her very seriously. That's what I really took from that.
And I think that's great advice for anybody starting out in acting and may, you know, put their nose up in the air at a soap. I think they're one of the hardest working people in the industry as being on a soap.
You have
so much to learn in such little time.
You do. And also I have to say, with the way television is now, with reality stars being stars, with there being TV shows on Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and MTV, Bravo, A&E, all these networks. I mean, I remember when actors wouldn't audition, you know, big actors wouldn't audition for TV. Now they're all over TV. You know, TV actors wouldn't audition for cable TV. Well, there's nothing else but cable TV. I don't think that the stigma of being a soap actor exists anymore. People see it as being an actor, you know. Yeah.
Right, that's good to know, because you do see a lot of crossovers now, so that's a good thing for everybody.
Exactly. One of my favorite people who I love to watch, and one of my closest friends, is Vanessa Marcel. She goes back to General Hospital all the time.
Yes.
And
yes.
then she goes off and does her, you know, she has a very successful career in daytime, in nighttime, and she never sees it as one or the other. She never takes it as I'm a failure or I didn't succeed in anything. And to be honest, you know, another friend of mine, Randolph Mantooth, said to me, it's never about the medium. It's always about the character. If you never follow the medium, you always have to follow the character, because it's the character that you're playing. It's the character that you're stepping into their skin, whether it's on stage, whether it's a movie, whether it's daytime television, or if you choose to do reality TV, you know, because reality is not really reality. So
right.
What's the character you're choosing to step into? And I thought that was brilliant advice. And he actually gave me that advice when I went to do General Hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and he's acted very well and been very successful. So what a great person to, you know, pass that down to from.
Yeah.
And Ms. Sabina, I think you have some questions you'd like to squeak out.
Yeah. I am so sorry. This just came on suddenly.
Don't worry.
You recently played Queen Eva, Snow White's mother, on Once Upon a Time. That is one of my all-time favorite shows on right now. Yeah. And I wanted to say you're such a timeless beauty and so perfectly cast in that role. What did you like most about that role?
As I was growing up with really pale white skin and light blue eyes and really, really dark hair, people always used to say that I look like Snow White. So the idea that I got to play her mother on a TV show was amazing. And I had never watched that show before. And when I went to do the show, a really good friend of mine also plays Belle. And I saw her and she was kind of giving me the background of, you know, the storylines and everything. And I was like, you know what? Don't tell me. I'm going to watch it when I get home because, you know, you shoot the show and then it doesn't air for, you know, like a month or so. So I went home and I said to my little 8-year-old daughter, I said, Mommy's going to be on the show. Do you want to watch the show with me? And I said this to my 16-year-old as well. And my 16-year-old was, I'm not really interested. But my 8-year-old and I were obsessed. We started and we couldn't stop. We were watching it on Netflix and everything, and we were watching like 5 or 6 episodes a day, which makes me sound like an awful mother. But we were just watching it, and like Daddy would go and do something, and he's like, I'm going to go to the store. And we're like, oh, okay, bye. And as soon as he'd walk out, we'd turn it on and we'd watch one, and he'd come back and he's like, are you guys watching Once Upon a Time? No. and we still watch it, and we're still so excited about it. But I mean, you know, it was such a gift to be able to play such an incredible role that made this iconic character who she was. You know.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Thank you.
And yeah, I am obsessed with that. But I got to say before I go on with my questions, I'm also obsessed with your husband's show, Revenge.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Oh, good.
I'm so glad.
I
yes,
noticed
yes.
that you're married to the director. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that is so awesome.
We met working. Yeah, he came and directed a TV show that I was starring in, and we fell in love on our first date. And we are married
that is awesome.
10 years next month.
Congratulations.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I also recently watched your movie Always and Forever, a movie which you starred alongside Barbara Eden and Max Gale.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
was it like working with two wonderful TV icons? And I got to also ask, did you ever watch I Dream of Jeannie and Barney Miller or both?
My father, that was my father's favorite show, Barney Miller and MASH. So I grew up watching Barney Miller. So I knew who he was the second I saw him. And I mean, I'm in my 40s. So I, of course, grew up watching I Dream of Jeannie. And I even said something to her. I think I said something to Barbara. I said, well, you have the most famous belly button in the world. And she kind of looked at me like, really? We're going to do that now? And I'm like, I'm not saying anything more than that. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, come on. But she was lovely, lovely. They were both really lovely. And that was just such a simple, fun movie. You know, there was nothing too hard to do in that movie. It was just, you know, a great time.
It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. And you also got to work with Dean McDermott, who was married mm-hmm. to Tori Spelling.
Yep.
And what was it like working with that gentleman?
It was good. We had a lot of arguments about riding motorcycles on set.
No.
I took away a lot of him saying, there's nothing wrong with riding motorcycles, and me saying, you're absolutely insane. Yes, there is. So, you know. And he would tell me, you know, my wife agrees with you to a degree, but, you know, I'll turn her. And then he had those accidents, and I think he, you know. So yeah. If we did a movie again, we would have a different conversation, I think.
Yeah. It's funny. I've actually gotten to ride on a motorcycle once, and it was kind of a thrill. But I would not own and you know, ride one on my own. Because
no.
it was kind of freaky as well, you know. My stomach did somersaults while I was on it, but it was so fun. That's probably the only thing I'd ever do, like, outside my comfort zone like that. I would not skydive or anything like that, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I was curious where Always and Forever was filmed.
California. In right outside of L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was definitely a great movie. I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed getting to see Barbara Eden again. And I've actually met her twice now myself. And she is a lovely lady. So
yeah.
that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Now, I also noticed you've been in many TV movies, aside from that one, including Saved by the Bell, Hawaiian Style. What was it like to be a part of a movie based on a hit TV show, which, of course, I was always obsessed with back in the day? And
I don't
seen
think
the
it
movie.
Was as big to me. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it wasn't as impressive to me at the time, because they were still doing Saved by the Bell. So the Saved by the Bell phenomenon, I don't think it really happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, until after it ended. And then it was like crazy. Nobody really expressed how much they loved that show until after it was over and it was, you know, done, and everybody was like, wait. So, you know, I know it's kind of an iconic thing, but sometimes when you've been an actress for as long as I've been an actress, there are times in your life that you don't necessarily want to see your physical transformations during those times, like bad hair or, you know, overweight or whatever. And so I remember it being, you know, a job, but not the greatest thing. But I'm still friends with, you know, when I see Mario Lopez or I see Elizabeth Berkley, who I adore, it's always really nice. And Mark Paul, it's nice seeing those people.
Right. Yeah, I was curious. Well, I mean, I've seen the movie, but it's been so long. Can you describe briefly your role in the movie and who you worked closest with from the original cast?
I played Mark Paul Gosselaar's girlfriend in it.
Oh. Awesome.
Yeah, so I worked with him.
He seems really sweet and awesome, too.
Mm-hmm. He is.
So one more question is, having worked with so many great actors already, is there anyone you've not yet had the chance to work with that you'd love to work with one day?
I think that the staple answer for most actors, if they haven't worked with this person, would want to work with them, and that would be Meryl Streep, just simply for the fact that I'd love to watch her work up close and in person, you know. But but I don't really, you know, I don't really have aspirations to, oh, I got to get there. I just, you know, if you're asking me the question, I would be pretty excited to work with her. But, you know, She's pretty cool.
Okay,
yeah,
podcast going to Meryl Streep, too. I'm writing this down. Well, I understand that you recently started a new candle business. Can you tell us more about it?
Well, I have a facialist who I've been going to for, 14 years. And he all of his skincare products are the products that I use on my face, and I have for, quite a long time. And he developed this amazing candle called the Collagen Body Candle. And it is literally a body lotion in a candle.
Oh, wow.
Incredible scents. There is a white peony candle, which is really flowery. There's the blood orange and Baltic amber candle, which is my favorite. And then there's the vanilla, cocoa, and Indonesian wood flavor candle. And they're not made with any wax or with any paraffin. They're basically just a blend of vegetable collagens, vitamin E, different extracts, and a soy base. And you burn the candle, and within seconds of burning the candle, it starts to liquefy. And that liquid is a pure collagen body lotion, and you use the spatula and you put it on your skin. You can use it as a massage cream. You can just rub it into your hands after washing the dishes. My facialist likes to rub it into my feet, which is my favorite thing in the whole entire world. And even just lighting them and leaving them in the room, you can light it and have it burning for 30 minutes in your room and blow it out, and your room will smell like the candle for days. And it's just
wow,
beautiful.
What an ingenious idea. I mean, how did he come
up ingenious.
With that?
He is a brilliant chemist, and, all of his creams, all of his lotions that he's created for the face, he's somebody who doesn't make things because he wants to sell them. He makes these things because he is obsessed with making people feel beautiful and making people feel the best that they can feel. And he wanted to design a candle because people love candles, but he didn't want it
right.
to just burn and go away. And he also didn't want the candle to, one of the other issues that we always face with candles is if you don't have it lit, it doesn't smell. Our candles could literally be in a room, and they will make the room smell without ever lighting them. It'll just be more intense if you do light it. And that's my favorite thing about our candles. They really, you can have them many different ways.
That's great to know, because I don't know how many times I've been out in a store and I pick up a candle and I smell it and I think, oh, my God, this smells so good. And you light it thinking that your room is going to be filled with that smell, and it's not. I mean, unless you're right on top of it, you don't really smell it.
Right,
so.
Not at all. So that's not our candles. And to be honest with you, you can't keep our candles lit for hours and hours and hours. It will actually create too much scent in your home, because it's not designed to be a candle that you light all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to use it on your skin. You really want to use it as a lotion, and you want to use it to give the boost of scent for your room. I've left them burning accidentally, and I can smell it throughout my entire house if it's in one room that's with the door closed.
Well, it's great, because it definitely gives you more bang to your buck, and that's what customers and people that are shopping for these different items want, to save money. And this is a great combination of not only doing something for your home, but doing something for yourself as well.
Absolutely. And they're only $28.50. So they're not expensive candles. They last for an incredibly long time, depending on how much of it you use as a body lotion.
Yeah, that would be something that I would have on my nightstand and use it, maybe right before I go to bed or something, because I'm always putting some kind of cream on me, or just when you get out of the shower, it's always good to put something on right away.
Yeah, and it's incredibly moisturizing. And one of the greatest things about it is it also has black licorice extract in it, which is a known skin whitener. So if you have a lot of dark spots on your hands, it'll help diminish the spots as well.
Wow. This needs to get out there.
I know. Well, you can buy them at www.dinomora.com. So go on,
right,
go
and
online and you can check them out.
M-O-R-R-A.
Yeah, D-I-N-O-M-O-R-R-A, yes, .com.
Well, I'm looking at the site now, and when we're done with the interview, I'm going to be ordering, so.
Oh, good.
So you know. If there's
good.
Any note on
the site,
it.
You'll see me on there.
Yes, I do, and you're absolutely stunning, as you always
Thank
have
you.
Been. I mean, you do not age at all, and I,
well,
gosh.
That's him.
What,
that's him.
What I would give
good
to look like
him.
You.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, your face, your skin is just, it's beautiful. It glows.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And I wanted to, I know we're getting like to the end of the half hour here. Is it all right if we take one phone call?
Of course.
Okay, great. We have David on the line, and he wanted to say hello to you and maybe ask you a question. David, you're live.
Okay. Hi, David.
Hi, Rena. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I miss Lois so much. She was such larger than life.
She was. Thank
she
you.
She was. And I always loved it how she used to give Edward hell. That was,
she
that
did.
Was, she always did. So my question for you is, what are your fondest memories of John Ingle?
John Ingle was one of the greatest people you could ever meet. He just had a kindness and a warmth to him. You know, he was so excited every single day to walk onto that set and have this job. You could sit there and you can complain about this and you can complain about that, or you can say my lines and, oh, why don't I have a better story? And you would just look at John Ingle and he'd say, I can't believe I get to do this. I used to be an acting teacher at, you know, he taught at Beverly Hills High School. And how he retired was he played Edward on General Hospital and couldn't have been more humble and appreciative of it. It was one of the greatest things. And such a, you know, it's a gift as an actor to learn from the older actors, to see how you want to continue your career with Grace. And it's amazing to me that his wife's name was Grace, Grace Lynn. And he was as kind and lived with as much grace as his wife's name was. And, oh, my God, he took such care of Anna Lee. You would have thought he was actually married to her. He adored her and cared for her in the most wifely way. It was such a beautiful thing to see. I miss him and adore him so much. And actually, you know, Wally and I spoke a lot when he, you know, passed away, and we were able to talk to each other on the phone and really share stories and memories of him as well, and it was just lovely.
Yeah. We miss him,
he'll
too.
He'll be missed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've ever cried so hard in my life watching that last scene with him, you know, knowing that after the fact that it was his last scene. And I still have it on my DVR. I just cannot take it off of there.
Yeah, I think I still have it too.
Oh, I never got to see it, so I'm sure I can YouTube it.
Yeah, and one of the people I was saying that are good at finding things on YouTube is David. So, David, if you can find those scenes that she was speaking of on General Hospital and the last scene with Edward, that would be great.
I have been looking, yes.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank
you
so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, David, so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us, Rena. It was wonderful catching up with you again, and we look forward to many more projects from you because we know you're going to get them.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me as well.
You're very welcome. And Sabina, did you want to say something?
Yes, I had to wrap up because I just simply adore you, and I am so glad I got to speak with you and interview you today. Thank you so much for the interview, and just you are definitely a wonderful actress and so beautiful. I would love to have that skin myself, so I'm going to have to check this candle out.
Oh, please do.
I was going to ask you real quick, will it help with spots on your face, too, because I have some pimple spots that have been left behind from scarring or whatever. Could it help with that?
No, and I wouldn't recommend using it on your face. We're actually developing a non-scented version for your face. It's quite a scent. So, you know, it's not going to hurt the skin on your face in any way, shape, or form unless you have, you know, sensitive skin, and, you know, you have to be careful of that. But it's really meant for your body.
Okay. So, but it'll help with severely dry, chapped hands then, right?
Oh, yes, by far. And it'll last for days. You put it on one day, and your skin will stay hydrated even if you wash your hands.
Well, awesome. I'm totally going to get some as soon as I can possibly get some. And, again, you are marvelous, and thank you again so much.
You are so welcome.
Thank you, Rena, and you enjoy the rest of your day, and you're welcome back anytime. If you have a new project or something that's coming up that you'd like to talk about, please let me know.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
You're welcome. Enjoy your day.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sabina, thank you. Thank you for being so strong and being on here with me. I know you say it doesn't hurt, but it just sounds like it hurts. And
I know. It doesn't, though.
maybe the candle company can come up with something for sore throats.
Yeah, really. Right?
But everybody check out that website. I'm just on there and going through it, and it's just amazing. And it's dinomora.com, dinomorra.com. And I'm going to try to get that on our website as well in case you missed it or you didn't have anything to write with. Also, follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio. Sabina and David, my other co-host, you can follow at Take Two Radio Crew. Check out the website at take2radio.com. Follow us on Blog Talk, and they'll send you an email each and every time we have a guest, and you'll be able to listen in if that's who you want to listen to. Please call in, too, when we have a guest. You're more than welcome to call in 1-718-506-1540 and press 1. Don't be shy. You can tell by us talking to them that they are very down-to-earth people, and they love to hear from their fans. You can also listen to the previous podcasts on my website or on iTunes. And everything that I say, Take Two Radio, is with the number 2. Thank you again, Sabina, for joining me today. Wednesday? Yeah. Thursday. Hopefully you're feeling better by then and you're not squeaking. We have Kevin Matthews, and he's actually a dog chef. That should be a very interesting interview. He's out of New York. He's an executive chef, and he has a unique, innovative way to bring the best in pet nutrition to your front door. He's done like 7 years of intense research, so this guy really knows what he's doing, and it helps with he can customize meal plans for a variety of ailments that your pet may be having, like cancer or kidney failure, and it's had such great success. So I definitely look forward to that interview because I have 2 dogs, and my little girl is getting older now and starting to have joint pain, and I want to see what he can recommend for that. So join us on April 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for our interview with Kevin Matthews. And thanks, everybody, for listening today. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you all.